Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Woo! Good morning. Welcome to Ask Me Anything with Coach MJ. Good morning, everyone. Let me pull up the amazing Kathy Hartman so that she can help us out this morning. She is going to be manning the chat and the Q&A. She is fantastic. I'm a little out of sorts, you know, because I have a life outside of no BS. It's crazy to think, right? But they literally 5 minutes ago just called me from my mother's assisted living. Because, you know, for me, it's always mama drama. And they have put her in a wheelchair. She is not walking. She has decided today is the day that apparently she is no longer walking. So my nervous system jacked up. So, if y'all will indulge me for just a moment, we're going to take a breath, okay, together, a few deep breaths so that I can calm down just for a moment. Y'all are always so forgiving, and I appreciate it so much. So, Kathy says, hands on heart. And I am going to take a few breaths. So, just for a moment. Okay. That does help a lot. That does help a lot. All right. And this is her dream come true. Do not feel bad for my mama. She's wanted a scooter for a very long time. And I keep telling her, if you go on a scooter and you quit walking, you're gonna not be able to walk. And she's in an amazing assisted living. She does not realize she's just taken herself one step closer to a nursing home. So there's that. There's that. So drop it like it's hot. We're gonna get after it, ladies. This week we're talking a little bit about enough. We're talking about halftime method. If you've not tried it, I've coached so many women who are afraid to try the halftime method. There was a post, I think it's either on Facebook today or yesterday, about the halftime method. I want to talk about it for just a second, and then we're going to get to all of your questions. So, the halftime method does not mean that you only eat half your food. That is not what it means. Here is why the halftime method is so amazing for helping you identify what enough feels like in your body. Because we are so used to cleaning our plate, or if we've done points or calories, we're so used to a serving size. We are so disconnected from what our body says to us when we're eating food. We just don't pay attention. We either eat our points, we eat our calories, we eat till the food is gone, or we've measured out and we know how much we're supposed to eat, and we just don't pay attention. And so the halftime method is really designed, which originally it started, we used to call it the Kathy method. Kathy Hartman actually came up with it. And now we call it the, what it really is, halftime method. It's really the Kathy method. But for, you know, clarification's sake, it is, the halftime method. So if y'all don't like it, it's Kathy's fault. No, I'm just kidding. We love it. Yeah, blame Kathy. But what happens is it's just a check-in. That halfway point is just a check-in for yourself. So you eat half of your food, you serve yourself half. If you're out to dinner or you do have a whole plate of food, you just visually kind of delineate what half would be. That's just a minute to put your fork down, to pause, to check in with how does my body feel? Because we ain't asked that in a long time. We have not asked that in a minute. And so you want to start asking yourself those questions. It's not going to come up automatically. So you want to give yourself the best chance to win. You want to set yourself up for success. So you pause at half, you wait 5 or 10 minutes. You start to see, like, is that enough? Am I still hungry? If you're still hungry, your meal is not over. You go get a little bit more, like half of the half, and you repeat it until you get to enough. Now, what happens over time, the more you do that, the more you check in with yourself, which we don't do, the more you do it, the more your brain is like, she keeps asking us, how do we feel? How does this feel? Have I had enough? This is new. Maybe she wants me to remind her. And so, what happens over time, the more you practice it intentionally, your brain is like, well, MJ keeps asking, have I had enough? Maybe I should just start asking her that during her meal. So it gets more automatic. But at first, you've got to set yourself up for success. You've got to insert a pause for yourself, for a lot of us, for me, for sure. Another reason people, I still do the halftime method because I eat in front of the television at night. I know, not the greatest of habits, but I do. So I set myself up for success because I don't really pay as much of attention. So I serve myself half on my plate. I go sit down, then I have a pause. I can be engrossed in a show. I can just eat my half. Then I check in. If I'm still hungry, then I make the decision to get up and go get a little bit more food. So it's not just like you do it, you learn what enough is, and then you never work on it again. There's so many reasons that it's so beneficial just to set your, it makes it easy. Let's make weight loss as easy as we can. And the halftime method, even though a lot of people are afraid of it because they're like, I don't want to just eat half my food. You're taking away half my food. No, we're giving you something. We're giving you a check-in. We're not taking anything away. We're giving you a tool. We're giving you an opportunity to check in. So at what point do we stop asking that question? I eat the same and it's very little already. I don't think you can ever quit asking. I still ask. All the time. Like it's not a problem just to pause. And if the answer is, I'm still hungry, then we just go eat. We still eat. It never hurts to ask that question. It's just a little pause. And if I'm still hungry, I go get more. If I've had enough, I just stop. And so for a lot of you find it difficult. You really avoid doing it at dinner. But I think at dinner, especially if you're at home, that is the perfect time to do it. And here's why. Let's say you're wrong. Let's say you're like, I think I've had enough. I'm good. I'm not going to go get any more. Or you do the halftime method. You eat half, you wait. You're like, I'm still a bit hungry. You get a little bit more. And then you're like, you know what? I think I'm at enough. Being at home is perfect for that because you have a kitchen full of stuff. You can always go get a snack. Later, if you were wrong, if you underestimated, like let's say I think I'm at enough, and an hour and a half later, I am like, there is some grumbling amongst my, I'm actually hungry. I don't have meetings at night. I'm usually already out of my bra. I ain't taking nobody nowhere. So, and I have a kitchen full of food. So it's super safe for me to do it, especially in the evenings. So just think about it that way. Let's see. I know Holly says, I know that growly stomach is hungry for me. What I am trying to identify is what it feels like to still be hungry while eating. Many times I say that I've stopped at enough and then later question if I ate to full. Can you pull what still hungry means to people? Yeah. So how do you know that you still are not at enough? Put it in the chat. Put it in the chat. Most of the time, for me, a grumbly stomach is I've gone way past hunger. But for I know I've had enough when I slow way down, when I start looking for those best bites left on the plate. I've done it for a while now and I've done the check-in. My stomach doesn't feel full anymore. But it doesn't feel empty. It's a feeling that I have in my stomach that I know I've had enough. Stop focusing on the food. That's a good one. a sigh for a lot of people. Some people get a hiccup, which is similar to the sigh. Those are really good questions. All right. So when y'all, every Sunday, y'all are getting a newsletter. If you're not getting the newsletter, check your spam and junk mail. If you're still not getting your newsletter, email support at pnptribe.com or click the blue question mark on the bottom of any page of the website, and we're going to hook you up. We're going to, Vern and the Help Scout team will totally take care of you and figure out what is going on. But, and also on the website, nobswomen.com, there's a survey that, oh, that was a gunshot. I live behind woods. I'm like, oh, that felt close. So there is a survey that you can fill out every week. Okay. You want to fill that out. If you're on vacation or whatever, just skip a week. You all right. The survey, if we're working on weight loss and you've had weight loss, that makes the thermometer go up because we've got a goal for weight loss this month. But if you're working on planning or you're working on movement or you're working on whatever, there is a place in there where you can report that as well. The main one that you want to fill out is at the end of the month where you say, I've participated, so you can qualify for prizes. But every week that we get them, we're looking over them. There's also a place where you can ask us questions, and we're getting through those as many as we can. And then I have some here that y'all have asked. I'll be going through that as well. And then at the end, I'm going to get to all of your questions. So these are all about drop it like it's hot, what some women are experiencing, what is happening. I'm going to go through these. I'm going to get to your questions, but make sure you're filling out that survey. Because not only is it letting us know what you're working on, but it also is if you're struggling with something or you've got a question for the team or a coach or whatever, that's a great place to put it. And we're getting to, you can always still use Ask Coaches for all of these questions as well. You don't have to use the form, but you know, in No BS, we try to give you every opportunity to get your questions answered. If you're like, I am not an Ask Coaches girl, I don't know why you wouldn't be. It's anonymous to the membership. I'm not wanting to post my questions in Facebook. There's another opportunity here on this form. And like I said, if you're going on vacation or something, just skip it that week. You'd be all right. Or you can fill it out and just put no loss or whatever because you didn't weigh. Totally fine. Whatever works for you. Let's see. I'm going to start answering these questions. It's going to be rapid fire, not unlike that gun that just went out in my backyard. God bless. Diana, tips for stopping the fuck it eats and all or nothing mindset. Yes. I just would ask yourself, what is this going to accomplish? Because a lot of times what happens is we go off plan or we have an overeat and then we're like, fuck it, I'll just start over tomorrow. You have the one overeat. What is going to help your weight loss? Adding to it or stopping right there? Those are really your two choices. You can add more weight, you can add more time to your weight loss, or you can just stop it right now. That's like saying, I got one tire that's flat. Fuck it. I'm just going to pop out all of them. That's a good idea. That's what I'm going to do. No, you don't do that. You're like, okay, one tire is blown out. What do I need to do? That's what you say about an overeat. I had one overeat. What do I need to do? And we'll go back to what, you know, Corinne always says, why fuck up the day when saving it's an option? Why? Why throw it all away? If you can save it, if you overeat and you're like, you know what? I overate. I'm going to learn from it. You can still go to bed proud. Every time. Every time. Corinne always said if I could, she could get rid of one thing for everybody, it would be the fuck it eats over and overeat. I want you to think about every time you overeat and then you say fuck it and you're going to start tomorrow. How much time does that add to your weight loss? How many days do you think that adds? Months does it add to your weight loss? Because a lot of times for a lot of us, fuck it, eat it and just fuck it, eat over and overeat it and just like, you know, going to eat a sleeve of Oreos. It's already Thursday. Hell, I'm going out tomorrow anyway. I'm gonna just wait till Monday. And then you got a fucking weekend. Won't we just stop that? Quit piling on. Let's just stop piling on. Something happens, you learn from it, you move on. It's the same thing like at work. You make a mistake at work, you don't be like, well, fuck it. I'm gone today, y'all. I'll see y'all tomorrow because I done messed up. Or do you just say, well, there's a mistake. You kind of own it, you learn from it so it doesn't happen again. Then you get back to work. That's what happens. That's how we handle our life. In every other area, except in weight loss, it's different. We had hamburgers last night. I burnt a bun. I didn't like throw all the hamburgers in the trash. I was like, oh, I burned a bun. Who doesn't want a bun? It was me. I just didn't eat a bun on my hamburger. I didn't be like, well, we're done. We're done. Nobody's eating a hamburger tonight. I have burned a fucking bun. We're done. That is not how we do it. It's like weight loss, we set it aside on a pedestal. It's like it has these different sets of rules. Because we've always known, we've always been told, we've always learned that weight loss is all or nothing. But nothing else is all or nothing. Just this one thing. And so we just need to apply the rules of the rest of our life to weight loss. And that's all that needs to happen. Kim, are there any suggestions that could help me through this time of perimenopause? I'm going to be searching videos and have started to take a supplement to help. And that is true. The other thing is, there are seasons in our life, I'm talking about sleep now, where sleep is not going to be great. When you have a small, like little babies, if you're maybe caring for a parent in your home, maybe your spouse or partner is sick. And you're up taking care of them, or you're sick. Your sleep's not going to be great. Perimenopause is one of those times for a lot of women. For a lot of women. I went through years of not sleeping well, and lately I've been sleeping like a little baby. Like a baby. It has turned the corner. Thank God. And that's just how it works. That's just how it works. But you know, you're saying you're taking a supplement. Please speak to a doctor. You know, about some of those things, about hormone replacement therapy. Is it right for you? Like all of those things, because it is a medical condition, but it's just like everything else. You know, it's like I'm gonna get help for it. And then if this is a season of not sleeping, remember, time in the bed counts as rest. Remember, naps count as rest. All of those things count. So just do the best you can. It's just a season. Oh, Amanda's got perimenopause with a 2 and a 5-year-old. Oh, girl. Ooh. Misty says, see, this is so good. My ring tells me I'm in bed for 8 hours, but my average sleep time is 5.5 hours. Time in the bed counts, Misty, because you're giving your body a chance to rest. When you're laying there, I want you to think about everything that happens. Like when you're laying there, your muscles are having time to repair. You're not putting extra strain on your heart. It's getting a little break. All of those things are happening. Your eyes are closed and you're getting some, you know, it's like, you know, lubrication of your eyes. Like all of those amazing things are happening while you're resting your body. It doesn't just have to be sleep. Wanda, any suggestions of what I could put on the refrigerator door to remind me or give me more willpower? Well, it's not going to give you more willpower. It's just going to remind you of what your goals are. And it's going to create that ping pong conversation. Unfortunately, I let my exhaustion went out of my common sense last night. All you want to do when you are tired or whatever it is, you want to facilitate that ping pong conversation. Now, does the ping pong conversation take your urge from a 10 to a 0? No. It just gives you a dog in the fight. It gives you a fighting chance. So when I was losing weight, I had stickies on my refrigerator, and it would say one of my favorites that I like put on repeat was, "Is this worth the time it will take you to lose the weight?" 99% of the time, no, it is not. Is this on your plan? Are you really hungry? What do you really need right now is a great one. Because for Wanda, she was exhausted. So if she would have gone to her refrigerator and seen a note that said, "What do you really need right now?" she'd have been like, "Sleep, sleep." A ping pong conversation, Kimberly. All it is like Wanda is like, "God, I'm tired. You know what I need? I need it. You know what would be good? Some ice cream." I wouldn't. Ice cream sounds good. Then the ball has been pinged, and then now you got a pong. You just want ice cream because you're wanting to stay up. You're actually really tired. You've ponged. Now the ping is like, but you're in the middle of this show. You ain't never gonna be able to finish watching it. You should just go ahead now. If you just get some ice cream, you can finish the show and then you can go to bed. You might even actually be a little bit, I think you might be a little bit hungry. That's the ping. Pong, no, I've already eaten. The kitchen is basically closed for me now, and I'm actually not hungry. I'm just tired. That's the only thing that's happening. And then you just have the ping pong conversation back and forth. The four questions, I don't know, I spit them out right fast. Is this worth the time it will take you to lose the weight? That was my favorite. Is it on your plan? Are you hungry? And what do you really need right now? So, is it worth the time it will take you to lose the weight? Are you hungry? Is this on your plan? What do you really need right now? That was my questions. I put them on a rotation. And I always tell this story, and this has been several years ago, but there's a member that lives in my neighborhood. We actually joined at the same time. And she was coming down to watch my dog for me while I was on vacation. And she always hears me tell about my sticky notes or whatever. And she hadn't been down here in a while, but she was coming down here to let my dog out. And she took a picture and she was like, "You're not shitting, are you?" I was like, "I told y'all there's sticky notes on my." She was like, "Damn, they're really on there." I was like, "Yes, they are. Hashtag bitch got goals. Bitch got goals. I'm setting myself up for success. I'm making weight loss as easy as I can make it." I just was. I was determined. I knew it was not going to be like a walk in the park, but I was like, everywhere that I can set myself up for success and make it a little bit easier and turn the knob down on an urge from maybe a 10 to a 5 or a 6, I was doing it. I was doing it because it mattered that much. And I knew I needed those reminders. There ain't no shame in that. There's no shame in that. Lori, why am I tasting while I'm cooking dinner? It's probably a habit. I had the same habit. And it was like almost automatic. I didn't even know I was like doing it. You know what I mean? And I just would chew gum or put a mint in my mouth when I was cooking. And then I realized how often I was taking bites. I was like, dang, I'm eating a meal before the meal. And then once I brought that much awareness to it, I don't know how long I was chewing gum or eating a mint. And I also would keep it by my, I would keep some on the table. So as soon as I was done eating, I would put a mint in my mouth because I was a plate cleaner. I was a plate cleaner. I'll be honest. I would get to enough, get up, go in the kitchen. And as I'm walking, I'm like eating the kids, whatever. And so it was just habit. And just that little tweak helped me, but it's just a habit. Misty says, "My shirt is cute. Is it full length like a sweatshirt?" No. And it's like, it's not even like good material. It's like synthetic. It doesn't even feel that amazing, but it's cute and it looks good on me and it's green and I bought it at a boutique a while back. How can I plan movement when I'm struggling with period cramps? That's such a good question, Jessica. I would have like period exercises. If you've got period cramps, probably stretching would be really, really good for you. Just a little stretching routine. You get that on YouTube. And if it's really bad, why don't you exercise your mind on those days? Like on the day or two that it is really, really bad, put on a meditation. Put on a meditation. Just Google a meditation. We have a couple on the website if you're past 30 days on one of the courses. Easy walks, meditation, journal a little bit if you want to. Just preserve that exercise time for yourself on days like, let's say that you've got a fever and you literally can't, like, you can't get out and do very much. Lay down, take some deep breaths, journal a little bit. If you know that you're a 30-minute walker, spend 30 minutes in self-care. Preserve that time for yourself. It doesn't always have to be like, get like, all out, whatever. It can just be preserving that time, reminding yourself that it's that important to you. Now that I've lost the five, she must have lost 5 pounds, Diane. I'm ready. I'm already at 1.5 in 3 days. How do I stay the course? First, we have to know, what are you telling yourself? You get to the five. What do you say? Oh, I can loosen up now. I've done so good. I deserve to reward myself. I deserve a treat. I've lost 5 pounds. I've got my favorite. I've got till next weigh-in to lose it so I can, let up a little bit. Those are the sneaky thoughts that get us. And then we'll see the scale go back up. You want to identify those. I did so well. I wonder what I can do if I keep going. I did so well. It's not time to take my foot off the gas. Every pound I lose is one less day that I'm losing weight. Those all worked for me. You've got to identify those sneaky thoughts and then take them to ask coaches so that we can help you figure out. What is going on? Why are you sabotaging? What thoughts are in there that are creating that for you? And listen, if you don't know the thoughts, still take it to ask coaches. The coaches can give you some suggestions that will prompt you, that will help you figure out what those thoughts are. I know Elena said that sneaky, I've got 5 days to weigh in. I know. We all did it, honey, at the Weight Watchers. I mean, my mama and I used to have a blowout on the weekend because we went to Weight Watchers on Friday morning. It was lovely. And then we would just blow it all weekend. That's what we would do. Diane, mindset around fluctuations on the scale. They're normal. They're absolutely normal. Your body goes up and down based on a ton of things. How much sugar did you have? Do you need to poop? Is your body fighting something that maybe you don't even recognize now? Have you been walking or exercising or lifting heavy? And today your body is hanging on to water to repair those muscles. Our bodies are supposed to do that. It's supposed to go up and down all the time, all the time. I got a little bit of arthritis and my knuckles are so sore and my scale has been up a pound or two. The last couple of days, I weigh every day. And every time I move my hands, I know why. I got some inflammation happening. It's coming, it's hanging out. Because, and there's all kinds of reasons you can get on and be like, huh, that's weird. Wonder what's going on with me. The answer to a fluctuation in the scale is not to eat over it. Because it's just a fluctuation. It is normal. It's what our bodies are designed to do. Imagine if our scales went down all the time. We'd all weigh nothing. We would be like a balloon that just deflates. It goes up and it goes down, and it goes up and it goes down based on whatever's happening on the inside that we don't even see. That we don't even see. We don't even know what's happening for a lot of time, a lot of times. Have y'all ever weight or whatever, and it's been up, and then you didn't freak out about it. And like 3 or 4 days later, you got a cold. That's it. It's stuff we can't even see sometimes. The scale is one piece of your weight loss puzzle. You want to also measure yourself. You also want to pay attention to how you're feeling in your clothes. You also want to weigh your habits. What are your habits telling you? If your habits are telling you that you're overeating half the time and the scale goes up, that could be a great place to start. If your habits tell you that You're doing really well and you're following Doable Hunger 85% of the time, and your water's on lock and your sleep's pretty good. And you notice the scale goes up. Then we have to start looking at other avenues. What's going on inside my body? I don't even see it. Do I need to poop? What do I need? What's going on? Maybe you don't even see it for a few days. But the goal at that point is just keep weighing your habits, stay the course. And if your habits say you're doing really well, and after a week or two, the scale isn't going down, or it's going up, that's when you go back in to doable hunger. Am I a little bit off? Am I eating a couple bites too many? Maybe I do the halftime method. Maybe I do on the clock for a few days. Make sure I go ask the coaches. I do all of those things, but I don't freak out at a fluctuation because our bodies are, the Lord has designed them to do that, to take care of us. It's an amazing creature, your bodies are. You might need more water, could be. Carrie, how do you stop restarting? Oh, I love this. You always want to just make the next best decision. It goes back to that all or nothing thinking. You're either all on or all off. If I had to guess, Carrie, there's a lot of that, like, I screwed up, fuck it, I'm done. And then you're like, oh, I gotta buckle back down. That's the old diet way. When you're off the whole time, you're like, you better eat all that right now because you about to take this away from yourself, or it's almost time to buckle down, or it's about to get serious. And then you go off for a few days, and then you have to like get back into it. It's that all or nothing thing, and you have to realize one mistake is not a problem. It's normal. We're none of us perfect. None of us, not one of us, nary a one. Corinne, Kathy, me, nobody. Nobody's at 100% in this membership. Nobody. I promise you, they're not. And it's like, nobody's 100%. So, what is my next best decision? If I wasn't going to throw this all away or just to restart, what would I be doing? Because there's a version of you 10 pounds lighter, 15 pounds lighter. You need to have a conversation with her. What does she want you to do? Because you're going to meet her. And the more you stay the course, the quicker you're going to meet her. She's like, over here, it's good. I'm down a pant size. My habits are clicking and locking. What would she tell you to do? I love talking to that version of me that's 4 or 5 pounds ahead of me, 10 pounds ahead of me. What does she want me to do? I never want to stop restarting. Right. There's nothing wrong with it, but I think it's like a hard reset. If you do find yourself all on one side, you've just completely like, I don't even know what happened. You do want to restart. You do want to give yourself that boost. You do want to reach out for help so we can help you. But in the moment, when you keep just quitting on yourself, it's time to ask. What can I do right now? What's my next best decision? What's going to help me the most right now? Get to my goals. What do I need to do in this moment? Yes, restart today, though. Don't wait for a certain date or time. That's right. There ain't no magic in a Monday. There's no magic in the first. None. We're here on the 16th. Why do you want to throw away the 17th through the 31st just to wait for the first? Let's just start now. Somebody did ask, Janet said, you've talked about your daughter with mental health challenges. How do you handle the stress without eating over it? What does she need from me? She needs me to be strong. She needs me. She can't handle her emotions well. I needed to figure out how to handle my emotions so I could help her. Because the only thing I knew to do was eat. When I found Corinne, I could not lead her in learning how to handle her emotions until I figured out how to handle my own. I could not be the best version for her until I was the best version for me. I had to put on my own life raft. before I could reach back and give her a hand. And that's what I kept reminding myself. How can I handle this emotion? Because whatever I was learning, I could teach her. So the more I did, the more I could help her, which is why I became a coach in the first place. Brianna, the unconscious eating. I don't know what that means. I'm thinking that might be like habit eating, which I talked about, like mints or gum or whatever. But if you've got more to that, just email us or post it in Facebook or go to Ask Coaches. Susie said, I drink like 112 ounces of water. Is it okay? I think it's fine. As long as you're not having any like issues because of it, but I think that's fine, especially in the summer. Girl, I'm sweating like a pig over here. I'm losing water quick as I can put it in. Kathy says, how do I regain motivation? Motivation follows action every time. It starts with one small step. What can I do today? A lot of times we just wait on me to say something or Corinne to say something or Kathy or Lisa or Lizzie or Betsy or Ashley, somebody to say something amazing, be like, God, thank the Lord they've given me motivation. But what happens a lot of times, if you're on one of these calls and I say something, what does it do? It gets you into action. It's not my words that did it. It was the push you needed to get you into action. That's where the motivation comes from. But a lot of times you think it's from what somebody says or what somebody offers you or whatever. It's not. I say something like make your next best decision. You have trust in me. So you're like, okay, MJ said, I'm going to go make my next best decision is to write my plan. And you go write your plan. That's the action you took. And action begets action. And motivation comes after that. So our words sometimes will spur you into action, into one action, but it's that snowball effect of actions that create the motivation that you're looking for and that momentum that you want. It comes from that. And the other thing too, and I haven't talked about this in a long time, but motivation is not always exciting because I think a lot of times we're looking for that excitement, like that Christmas morning excitement to go be able to do something. But motivation and excitement don't always go hand in hand. Sometimes we're motivated and we're excited to get going. And some days we're motivated because we don't have any clean panties and we need to do laundry. There's no excitement required. Some days we're motivated to go to work because we want a paycheck. We're not excited to go. If my dog throws up in the floor in the middle of the night because he's eating another freaking sock, I am motivated to get up and go do it. I am never excited at 2 o'clock in the morning, which is always when he throws up a sock. Never, never happened. But we have got to decide that motivation and excitement don't always have to go together. We are motivated to do a lot of things. We are motivated to cook dinner, not always excited. And so motivation is just a willingness to do it for whatever reason. And sometimes excitement comes along and it's lovely. Oh, Christine, I happened to catch this. My cat brought in a live snake in my house yesterday. I was motivated as fuck to get it out of the house. I would have moved. Y'all would have seen. I would have moved. I would have been somewhere else today. I would not have been here. I would have moved. Burned down the house. Karen Brent, me and you both, honey. Me and you both. Yeah, I know you're motivated to clean up dog puke, but not necessarily excited about it. But that's the other delineation we need to make. We are not ass on fire excited. I am not ass on fire excited to make my plan every day. I'm being honest. I'm just not. It's just something I do. I'm motivated because it's who I am, but I'm not like, yes, I'm so excited. It's time to go write a plan. Woohoo. Most days I'm not excited to shower. It's such a chore. I'm motivated to go. I hate to get my nails done, y'all. I hate to sit there. It is like the worst. I can't stand it. I don't like it. It is not self-care to me, But I love to have my nails done. I love it. I love how they look. I like to keep them trim and neat, and I love it. I hate to get them done, but I'm very motivated to go get them done because I like the way that they look. But the whole time I'm driving over there, I'm dreading it. I don't like it. And then I got to pay for shit I don't even like. It's not my favorite thing. I don't like getting my hair done either. I don't like any of that typical stuff. Let's see. Tiffany, is 6 pounds too much of a fluctuation on menstrual week? I don't know, Tiffany. Everybody is different. Everybody and everybody is different. So what you want to do is weigh yourself during your menstrual week for a few months. And if that is your normal, then it is your normal. Because everybody is so different, which is why no BS, it always amazes me how no BS is so amazing because it's created, you create it. You decide what's normal for you. You decide what you want to eat. You decide what a normal fluctuation is for you. We don't know damn app, some trainer on TikTok saying, comment your name and I'll tell you what hours to eat between. We're not doing that. We're not cookie cutter. So you put on your lab coat, not your judge's robe, for the next few months and see. And maybe it is normal for you. Maybe it is. Teresa, some days it seems so easy. How do you keep your thoughts lovely? They're not always lovely. Oh, I know. If we could just erase shitty thoughts. But when you do have a shitty thought, like I don't want to, we'll talk about planning again. I don't want to plan. This sucks. I don't want to do it. I know, but it's who you want to be. You don't have to love it. You just have to do it. It's not lovely. It's not exciting. It's not fun. It's just a thought. I just want to be that person. Just who I am. You don't have to like it right now, but you're going to feel better after you do it. It doesn't have to be a, like we call them, rainbow and unicorn thoughts all the time. I don't live in lovely thought land all the time. I don't live there a lot of the, I don't live there all the time. No. I would love to, though. I would love to. Let's see. Still trying to slow down my eating. Not sure why I rush through my meals. Probably it's habit. This one doesn't have a name. So it's probably habit. So there are some things you can do. You can eat with your non-dominant hand. You can do the halftime method because then you can just eat that part fast, but then you just insert the pause. You can, there's a bite timer app on your phone that you can download. I think it's even free. So there's that too. You can use that to kind of slow yourself down just a little bit. I was a fast eater. I for a long time ate with my non-dominant hand. It was so helpful to me. So helpful. And it was funny because, you know, I still had kids at home when I was losing my weight and they were like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm just eating with my other hand to see how it feels." And then they started to do it. And so then they started to slow down their eating. It was fun. It became a family thing. So there's that. Lenora, I try to stay on my plan. This is in the chat. Eat till enough. Try to be aware of my hunger. And I gained 0.4 pounds. Is this over a week, Lenora? Is that what it is? That's what I'm telling you. Body fluctuations. It's your body is not a slot machine, Lenora. It's not. Something could be going on with you. You just stay the course. Weigh again next week. Maybe you'll have a fat dump. Maybe you'll get a call, a summer cold and be like, "Well, shit, no wonder my scale was up." Maybe you need a poop. Maybe you ate something in the last couple of days that was super salty. You didn't even realize it. Fluctuations are normal. Your scale is gonna, it looks like a roller coaster. It just looks up and down, up and down, up and down all the time. But it's not time to throw in the towel. Because you did the most important thing, Lenora. You weighed your habits. That's what I mean when I say weigh your habits. So she's, you know, you can get a little bit more granular. How often are you staying on plan? How often are you eating till enough? How often are you waiting for hunger? Blah, blah, blah. What does your water look like? And if those habits, if you weigh those and you're like, that's pretty damn skippy, it looks pretty good. This weight must be a blip. It's either something I ate in the last couple of days that just created a blip, or maybe something's going on. I don't know. It just happens sometimes. Let's see. Could the scale be stalled? Oh, no. Carolyn, I need to break some habits of nighttime eating and trying to be perfect. So, we do have a nighttime eating course. At the end of your first 30 days, you can go on courses, bonus courses, nighttime eating. You can even sign up for text, nightly text. They'll send you text every night. Corinne will send you a text for 30 days to remind you of your goals. That is a great place to start. And then I have already talked a lot about being perfect. Brenda says, could the scale be stalled due to starting up with body training at the gym? If there is a time frame where is there a time frame where the body adjusts? It usually takes a couple weeks as you're really starting to break down that muscle. And it's not weight gain, y'all. When you break down muscle, Lord, now I'm talking about shit. I know just enough medical to get me in trouble. Like, I know this much. And then I open my mouth. Somebody smarter than me got to be in this chat. But your body needs fluid in order to help you rebuild muscle. So, a lot of times, what happens is you get blood that rushes to that area. Your body hangs on to fluid to make that extra blood and all this other kind of stuff. So, you will at first notice that maybe the scale doesn't move, but it should just be for a couple weeks. Because if it was forever, because people are like, I don't want to lift weights because I'll never lose weight. I mean, that would mean Corinne would be as big as a house because she lifts all the weights. In order for that logic to be true, Corinne would be gaining weight. Corinne's not gaining weight. Corinne's over there being Corinne. So that's how it works. Let's see. What? Oh, Rachel says, what is the best data habit to track? So we have a habit tracker. Those are the ones that we think are the most important habits to track. Am I waiting for hunger? Am I stopping at enough? What is my water look like? We have all of that in the habit tracker. Those are the most important ones. And if you're in your first 30 days, there is a habit tracker in your quick start guide as well. If you're not ready to plan yet, we got that over there for you. So just track those habits. Let's see. Nicole, how do I continue positive thoughts on leaving food? It was easy. I don't want that thought to change. Well, then just keep bringing that thought up. And then I like to add stuff to it. It's easy to leave food when you know you can have it anytime. It's easy to leave food when you know it's going to support your goals. It's easy to leave food because I'm not using my body as a trash can anymore, whatever it is. So you can even extend it out. Like, why is it easy? It's easy because, or it's easy when. It's easy and it's getting easier every time, whatever it is. Just add a little bit to it and that might make it easier. Easier. I said easy a lot of times in a short amount of time. Let's see. Being okay with stopping at enough when it's so good and my plate is still full. Here you go, Lucy. That was my grandmama's name. That's a good name. You've had all you need. You've gotten all the goody out of that plate. And it does taste good. And you can have it later. Nobody's taking it away. It's not like when the only time you would let yourself eat something that even tasted remotely good was when you were cheating or you weren't on a diet. Now you can actually have it whenever you want. You can have it anytime you want it. My son-in-law, no, he did not. My brother-in-law last week brought me Dubai chocolate from Dubai because he was coming this way. I've had a piece every day. In the past, if I was losing weight, or I was never maintaining. Who the hell am I talking about? I was never maintaining my weight. I was always gaining it or losing it. I would have had the thought of, I better eat all this and get it out of my house so that I'm no longer tempted. And I would have eaten the whole thing. But y'all, for the past week, every night, I've had a sleepy time tea and a little piece of Dubai chocolate. And it's been lovely, lovely. And because he brought me 2 bars, I think I'll be able to do that for a few weeks. And it's so good. It's so good. Now the only thoughts I have to work on is my husband got some. I was like, stop it. You don't even like chocolate. Leave it alone. But, you know, he can have some. But I am no longer. The other thing, too, is when I still have a lot of food on my plate, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Your body says, I'm not enough. And Jennifer, no. Lucy, how did I forget that? Here's what happens. You get to enough, and you're like, oh, this is so, I'm going to keep eating. And your body's like, I'm good. Like, I got enough. And you're like, I don't care. I'm going to keep giving it to you. And your body is like, I mean, okay, I ain't got nowhere to put it. I mean, I'll store it. I'll put it. I mean, I can put it on your arms or your legs or your hips, your butt, around your face. Like, I can do that, but I don't need it for fuel anymore. Like, you gave me enough. I'm good. I mean, I'll hang on to it. I'll hang on to it for you if you want me to. And you're like, yes, you hang on to all this extra food. Everybody's like, I'll store it. I ain't got no need for it right now. That's what you're saying. Like, really think about what is happening. Or you could pack it up, put it away. Wait until you're hungry next time. Your body is like, hey, I need something. You're like, I got you some good ass food too. We're gonna enjoy it. And then you just keep eating it at that point when you're hungry again. We went to dinner for my daughter's birthday the other night, went to Myrtle Beach to this amazing Italian restaurant. Oh my God, homemade pasta. Although it was so good. Y'all, I ate at dinner Saturday night. I ate it for dinner on Monday, and I think I'm gonna finish it off for dinner tonight. 3 times I have eaten this amazing meal, and it was amazing. Oh my God, it's so good! And it did. I mean, was it as good heated up? It was okay. I mean, you know, it's still good though. I'm gonna tell y'all, it was good. Oh my God, that's what I did. It was called Malibu at Surfside. She lives in South Myrtle Beach, but you gotta make a reservation, and it's twinksy tiny. And it was, and their cheesecake. Y'all always ask, like, is this worth the time it will take you to lose the weight? So I'd eaten two enough, and y'all know I love cheesecake. And the owner just walks around and talks to you. So he knew it was my daughter's birthday, whatnot. He sent us a piece of cheesecake. I know cheesecake, I know it well. I know good cheesecake and I know shitty cheesecake. And life is too short to eat shitty cheesecake. They brought out that cheesecake. It was me and my husband and my daughter. And I was like, let's just pack it up to go. But he brought it out on a plate. So we all took a bite of it. Oh my God. Best cheesecake I've ever eaten in my whole life. It was fluffy. How do you make fluffy cheesecake? I have no idea. Not a clue in this world. I went over enough. And you know what? I loved my reasons. And it was really the best thing I have ever put in my face. I cannot even begin to express. And whenever I say, is it worth the time it will take you to lose the weight? The answer was yes. And I did think that. I thought that in my head. I'm like, MJ, if you eat another bite, you're past enough. You're going to go a few bites over. Is it worth the time to t it's going to take you to lose the weight? Hell yes, it is. Yes, it is. It was velvet rope. I mean, I would put it in a limo and drive it in myself. It was that worthy. And it is one of those things that 6 months from now, if you ever ask me, what was the best cheesecake you've ever had? Malibu at Surfside, Myrtle Beach, Lita's birthday. It's going to be one of those. It was that memorable. That's the shit that you want to save those times for, that you want to have those conversations with, that you want to be so mindful and so fucking glad you. I don't regret it a bit. I went to bed happy as a clam, honey, full of cheesecake and some pasta, and it was amazing. Those are the things that it's a memory. It's like now a core memory for me. It was that good. It was, and I told my daughter she's never allowed to come visit again unless she brings me a piece of that cheesecake. You're not, that's your price of admission to ever come back home again. It was that good. Those are the things we want to include without guilt, feeling amazing about the decision we made consciously, consciously, not just because there's food left on my plate and I should finish it. This is worth it. This is velvet rope. I'm inviting you to the party. I love you. That's the stuff. And that's when we do all these diets and stuff, and it's like food is fuel. F No, fuck, it's not. Food is awesome and it tastes amazing. It tastes amazing and it should. But we've been so scared of food that tastes so good because everything that's good is bad for you. If things that's good tastes good, if it must not be good for you because it tastes good. What can you eat on your diet? Nothing that tastes good. How many times have we said that? I'm over here eating cardboard and grass because I'm trying to lose weight. That's over, y'all. That train has left the station. We ain't doing that shit no more. We're no BS women. And we enjoy what we eat. We plan what we love. And we can have it whenever we want to, and within doable hunger. Go to Myrtle Beach, honey. There's like probably 12 or 14 tables in there. That's it. It's so tiny. They make everything from scratch. His mama's recipes. Oh, God Almighty. Is walking enough? Girl, it is more than enough. It is so enough. It's enough. Everything is enough, right? It's whatever brings you joy. That's what movement's supposed to do. It's supposed to make you happy, supposed to bring you joy, supposed to make you feel better. And if that is walking for you, that is exactly what you should be doing. That's exactly what you should be doing. Patty, what is a good book to read for that? Oh, I don't know what that came from. I don't know. I don't know what question. Sorry about that. Suzanne, business trip coming. I'm practicing not eating or drinking like an asshole just because I'm traveling. Tips or thoughts? You've got your stomach with you and your brain. Again, like I did the other night. I knew I was at enough. Then I took a bite of that cheesecake and I asked myself, is this worth the time it's going to take you to lose the weight? You just have to be mindful. Whatever that means. A lot of people, I've seen several people put dirty napkin. Now I was learning how to follow enough and I was out to eat because, you know, out to eat, you know, you can't like serve yourself half. You have to visually do half, whatever. And I'm a picker. I'll tell y'all, if it's in front of me, I'm gonna pick at it because that's what I do. I was a picker, still am sometimes. But if I got to the end of my plate, I knew I had had enough. I knew it was something I was not gonna take home. For whatever reason, like if I'm on a business trip or on vacation, I would take my napkin. I would reach, like literally, this is what it looks like. I would reach under the table. I just wipe the bottom of my shoe. Wipe the bottom of my shoe. I would take the napkin and put it face down over my plate. Urge gone. Urge gone. So that's what I would do because it's super simple to do. Nobody knows you've done it. And then it takes that desire down because it's got a nasty napkin on top of it. Patty, I eat on a 5-inch plate and leave one bite at each meal. It is doable for me. That's lovely. I still have weight to lose. Should I try two less bites now? I want you to go to do the halftime method. Eat half. It's not about leaving bites, y'all. It is about what your body is saying. So I want you to go in the No BS Weight Loss course, module three. Module three. I think, no, module four, module four, module four. There's a cheat sheet about little signs and whatever that you've had enough. I want you to go look at that cheat sheet and start to tone in on your body because it's not about bites left behind. It's about how you feel in your body. Wanda, oh, we already talked about that. A good incentive to place on my refrigerator to remind me not to go looking for more. That's one right there. Oh, and Kathy shifts her plate out from in front of me. That's my signal to the table that I'm done and I won't pick at it after that. Girl, I wish it was that simple for me. I will still pick. I have to do something else. But I love that. That's what I'm saying. That's why no BS is so fucking awesome. You do you. Two more questions and then I'm out. There's a cheat sheet. In module three, there's a cheat sheet about am I hungry? And then in module four, there's a cheat sheet about enough. Holly says, since this is Ask You Anything, I've been curious what the books on your bookshelf. I'm curious about what books have earned prime space on the awesome MJ's front and center bookshelf. I will tell you. I will tell you. So, let me see. There are a couple that are under here that a member wrote. What's her name, Kathy? And she lives in New York. She worked for the Moth. What the fuck is her name? What's her name? She did the half marathon in her apartment during COVID. Ah, shit. I can't remember. Anyway, that's it. Courageous Cultures, Unreasonable Hospitality, which is the book that No BS lives by. The Para Method about organization and stuff. And then Badass Affirmations are over there. That's what's over there. Is her name God Almighty? I can't think of her name. The book title, she worked for the Moth. So it's the Moth, Occasional Magic and All These Wonders. It's like little short stories that she helped. Not Liz. God dang it. She's gonna listen to this. She's gonna beat my ass. I can't think of her name. Carolyn, the next time you come to Seattle, can I please take you to the cheesecake place at Pike Place Market? It's good too. My treat. Carolyn, I will let you know. The Para Method was the Moth. No, she did not work for the mob. Oh, maybe it is. Maybe it's inside the book. I don't. Let me look right here. And it's pretty too. Catherine Burns. Thank you. Whoever said that. Catherine Burns. And she sent me these. They were published, and then she even signed them for me. That lovely. So. Yeah, she said, thank you for being such a brilliant mentor. So grateful that you are now part of my story. I love that. Yeah, she said that to me, which was lovely. Yeah, so anyway, I know I always say I need to go, like, I always just go visit my accountability partner, Jen Saya. She lives in Quilcene, Washington. So we land in Seattle, and then we just go to her house, and she lives out in the middle of nowhere. And I always say I'm gonna go like a day or two early, and like go a couple of days early, and so and see members, and I just don't, and that sucks. A member actually, oh, and a member also sent me that Go Strong All Day Long. One of my private clients, when I was private coaching, she sent me that because she said I was like Wonder Woman. I thought that was sweet too. Yeah. Oh, and then I also up there have Atlas of the Heart, which a member also gave me while I was at camp by Brené Brown. Yeah. So a lot of it is from members. Like I have never really paid a lot of attention, but it is true. That's what's up there. Yeah, members have given me a lot of that. I know. I need to. Maybe I should. I'll talk to Jen about that. How can we facilitate me like staying in Seattle one night, maybe before I go with her? So, yeah, it's mostly member stuff back there. I know. And then of course up here I got the old shitty. I got old shitty up there. So that's what's back there. All right, y'all. Have a great rest of your week. Do the halftime method if you're scared of it or if you're nervous about it. Because it's really a great, like, it's a great tool to have in your toolbox. Like, that's it. Like, we've always just had food. Food was in the toolbox. That's all we had, just food and food. And we're just giving you more tools that you can stick in your toolbox. And when you need them, you just pull out a tool. I'll post a picture of the books. Yeah, for sure. All right, y'all. Have a great rest of your day, and I will talk to y'all later. Bye, everybody.